Cohn came up to our table. "Hello, you bums," he said. "Hello, Robert," Harvey said. "I was just telling Jake here that you're a moron." "What do you mean?"
"Tell us right off. Don't think. What would you rather do if you could do anything you wanted?"
Cohn started to consider.
"Don't think. Bring it right out."
"I don't know," Cohn said. "What's it all about anyway?"
"I mean, what would you rather do? What comes into your head first, no matter how silly it is?"
"I don't know," Cohn said. "I think I'd rather play football again with what I know about handling myself now."
"I misjudged you," Harvey said. "You're not a moron. You're only a case of arrested development."
"You're awfully funny, Harvey," Cohn said. "Someday somebody will push your face in." Harvey Stone laughed.
"You think so?"
"They won't, though, because it wouldn't make any difference to me. I'm not a fighter."
"It would make a difference to you if anybody did it."
"No, it wouldn't. That's where you make your big mistake, because you're not intelligent."
"Cut it out about me."
"Sure," said Harvey. "Doesn't make any difference to me. You don't mean anything to me."
"Come on, Harvey," I said. "Have another Porto."
"No," he said. "I'm going up the street and eat. See you later, Jake."
He walked out and up the street. I watched him crossing the street, through the taxi, small, heavy, slowly sure of himself in the traffic.
"He always gets me sore," Cohn said. "I can't stand him."
"I like him," I said. "I'm fond of him."
"You don't want to get sore at him."
"I know it," Cohn said. "He just gets on my nerves."
"Right this afternoon?"
"No, I couldn't get it going. It's harder to do than my first book. I'm having a hard time handling it."
The sort of healthy conceit that he had when he returned from America early in the spring was gone. Then he had been sure of his work, only with these personal longings for adventure. Now the sureness was gone. Somehow I feel I have not shown Robert Cohn clearly. The reason is that until he fell in love with Brett, I never heard him make one remark that would in any way detach him from other people. He was nice to watch on the tennis court. He had a good body, and he kept it in shape. He handled his cards well at bridge, and he had a funny sort of undergraduate quality about him. If he were in a crowd, nothing he said stood out. He wore what used to be called polo shirts at school, and may be called that still, but he was not professionally youthful. I do not believe he thought about his clothes much. Externally, he had been formed at Princeton. Internally, he had been molded by the two women who had trained him. He had a nice, boyish sort of cheerfulness that had never been trained out of him, and I probably have not brought it out. He loved to win at tennis. He probably loved to win as much as Lundgren, for instance. On the other hand, he was not angry at being beaten. When he fell in love with Brett, his tennis game went all to pieces. People beat him who had never had a chance with him. He was very nice about it.